What's up, family? This is your boy, Mr. S to the P, aka Sam Purpose. Check out my latest single, No Deficit, right here on the Bookkeeper 24/7 podcast.
Yeah, no deficit. Christ life for the strife, that's evident. Now we walk with a price, no arrogant.
I got it all in my boogie book.
Yeah.
My boogie book.
It's right there.
I got it all in my boogie book.
Bookkeeper.
My boogie book.
24/7.
I got it all in my boogie book.
We in our bag now.
All in my boogie book.
Yo. Hey. Yo. Yo.
Show.
Hello.
24/7, Lord, hit him with the glow.
Please.
New podcast, and we do it for your soul. Bookkeeper 24, we do it for the bros. True fellowship with the saints, boy, you know.
You
now
know?
I keep the book, but I used to keep the foe.
Uh-huh.
Hit it in my heart, and I put it on my phone.
Okay.
Sincere milk, now it's time for you to grow.
Bro.
And hear the good news, for it's time for you to go.
Powered by the Bookkeeper, 247.com. Welcome to Behind the Mic Podcast with my husband and your host, Daryl Kemp. Thank you, as well as our new listeners, for joining us. On this podcast, we interview artists that we feel should be on everyone's radar and discuss not just music, but other topics throughout our culture. On the 11th episode of Season 2, Behind the Mic, Daryl chops it up with Christian hip-hop artist St. Jones. Daryl was blessed by having St. Jones on the show. In this episode, St. Jones shares his heart, testimony, as well as his ministry. They even discuss last year's national title game between Alabama and Ohio State. St. Jones has a must-hear album that's now out entitled Psalm 7. Also, St. Jones tells Daryl about a vivid vision the Lord gave him. This interview is packed, and I do mean packed, with amazing content. Without any further delay, let's go! Let's go! Let's go! Let's go! Let's go! Let's go!
St. Jones.
Extra good.
Look, I woke up feeling extra good. Feel like I made it, dog, and I ain't even left the hood. But something's telling me I'm next to go. Asking the Father, why you give me all these blessings for? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. They ask me how I made it. I say, won't he do it? I say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hey, how you holding up? And I say, won't he do it? And if you know him, then you know he will. Always coming through in the clutch, give me that Kobe feel. How you still doubting God, but trust your homie still? Jesus walk on water in our face, we be like, show me still. You ain't gotta tell me twice, boy, I know he real. He the reason the flow is ill, even though he heals. Holy Spirit got me popping like he sold me pills. Look, my God's the real deal, no holy feel. I am a limitless kingdom citizen and I know my rights. Delivered by passion of the Christ, let him control my life. They don't like the name of Jesus, shrug my shoulders twice. Praise break, got the spirit moving, no poltergeist. Cast my cares upon the righteous judge, I'ma tell it all. I guess I'm like Tekashi 6ix9ine with the feds involved. I'm just trying to get my healing with no meds involved. Blessings of the Lord making you rich with no stress at all. Yeah. And I woke up feeling extra good. Feeling like I made it, dog, and I ain't even left the hood. But something's telling me I'm next to go. Asking the Father, Lord, why you give me all these blessings for? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. They ask me how I made it. I say, won't he do it? I said, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. They say, how you holding up? And I say, won't he do it? Not only will he do it, and has he done it, but he's still doing it, ayy. But gotta watch out for them snakes that Satan be sending to try to come ruin it, ayy. But I know my calling and I know my destiny, I'ma just keep on pursuing it, And haters gon' hate till they blue in the face, but I choose to worship Yeshua today. I let it be known, Jesus, who I'm serving in these streets. I'm a rapping minister, man, I spit sermons on these beats. Devil's telling me I ain't nothing, but I'm certain who I be. I ain't tripping, I'm just chilling like I'm Bernie in that seat. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. They ask me how I made it, I say, won't he do it? I said, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. They say, how you holding up? And I say, won't he do it? Yeah.
All right, welcome to the ride where we don't want nothing on the book. We trying to get in the book, the Lamb's Book of Life, that is. Follow us as we follow him as we navigate through this world, changing the culture for God through media. I want to give a special shout out to my beautiful wife for the intro. Buckle up, family, as we welcome St. Jones to the ride. What up, what's up, and what it do, St. Jones?
What's going on, man? I'm glad to be here, man. God is good.
Yes, sir. Glad to have you on the show, man. I really appreciate you stopping by and chopping it up with us.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's an honor to be on it.
All right. So let's jump on in. So where are you from, St. Jones?
I'm from Ohio, man. I've been originally from Springfield, Ohio, and Youngstown, Ohio. I moved back and forth as a kid, but right now I claim Columbus, Ohio, which is the capital. I've been here since I've been saved, man, since 2013. So I reside in Columbus, Ohio.
Okay, that's what's up, man. My grandparents are actually from Cleveland.
Oh, okay. Northeast Ohio. That's what's up.
Yeah, Northeast. I hadn't been there in a while, but I remember when I used to go for the summer as a child, I couldn't leave the city without getting a Mr. Hero, like hoagie or something like that, right?
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so my grandparents lived in Warrensville Heights in Cleveland, Ohio. And I remember the Mr. Heroes was on the corner and it was next to a record shop I used to go to as a teenager.
That's what's up, man. Good old record shop. We don't see too many of them no more.
Nah, it's all about the stream, it seemed like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what's it like growing up in Ohio?
It's not like what people be thinking it is. Like a lot of people, I've come across people that ain't from Ohio, and everybody think it's like cows and farmland everywhere. Excuse me. If you look, Ohio got about probably 4 or 5 major cities in it that are very urban cities. Columbus is the capital, and then we got Cleveland, we got Cincinnati, Dayton is another very city with the buildings downtown and professional sports teams and stuff like that. But it's just Midwest life, probably very similar to any other place. A lot of people in Ohio, man, they love being from Ohio, man. Ohio represents, man, and being a Buckeye, it's a Buckeye state. Ohio State is definitely well represented all around the country. You go to different places, you always gonna run into a Buckeye alum or Buckeye fan. Maybe having like I heard people tell me in Florida and different spots, they got like sports bars specifically for Buckeye fans and stuff. So Ohio people, man, they proud to be from Ohio, man. I love this state. It's definitely a place I'm glad to be from.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, one of the reasons I like doing this podcast, to highlight and showcase that Christians do more than just read our Bibles and worship and go to church. We know that salvation is the ultimate reason and the number one purpose that we have. But with you bringing up sport, man, what you think about that last national title game? Talking about the Buckeyes.
Next question. No, I'm just playing with you. Man, that one's... Listen, man, we just... Yeah, sometimes it's a team that just like ain't nobody finna beat that team. Kind of like how LSU was the year prior. And it's just like, mm-hmm. Dang. It's like, it literally just seemed like we ain't had no chance. That team was a juggernaut. That offense specifically with, man, it just... Them two receivers, Waddle and Devontae, like that. Man, bro, team Mac Brown throwing the ball over the yard. It just seemed like we didn't have a chance from the jump.
Yeah, see, now me being in Birmingham, Alabama now, but I'm from San Antonio, so I'm a Texas. I'm a Longhorn fan living in Bama Nation, right? And right here in Birmingham, about an hour from Tuscaloosa, so I be having to hear that Roll Tide all the time. But I was pulling for y'all, especially with the grandparents being from Cleveland. And my cousins and things like that, they big Ohio State fans. I just want anybody that can beat Nick Saban and the Alabama team, man.
Hey, we did it. We did it back in 2015. We let them get this one this time. But, it's funny, man. I was in the South a lot last year, or the year before that. I was in Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, and you run into a lot of Alabama fans, and for whatever reason, they created this little rivalry with us. I don't know why. We ain't got no beef with Alabama. We just took care of business in 2015. But it's funny how that, how, you know, these different powers, like the Clemsons and Ohio State, Alabama, the ones that are typically on top, how they created this little rivalry, man. And I actually met some cats from Greenville, South Carolina, Clemson fan. And we know our history, so I was glad we was able to crack their heads this year.
Yeah, to all Birmingham family members listening, they'll tell you one thing about me, St. Jones. It's not the team, it's the fans.
Right.
That's what it's I tell everybody. I was like, but you know, I know our fans can be a little, what I want to call it, we can be a little aggressive too, especially when we're winning in our program.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a while it's been a while for Texas. I don't know. I like when Texas is a power, man. I don't know what's going on down there, man.
Yeah, we'll see if Sarkis, and we just got Alabama offense coordinator, so we'll see what he can do with the squad down there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good pick.
Yeah, our biggest problem is we're starting to lose recruits. We know about the Alabama, Ohio State, Florida's, USC. They're always going to recruit well, but when we are in a competition with Baylor for the recruits in Texas. We know Oklahoma is natural, but right. When we're losing recruits to Baylor and TCU and Houston and Rice and things like that, it's kind of hard for us to rebuild. And man, we've been pitiful since Mack Brown left, though. So I'm just going to go on and say that and leave it right there.
Yeah, man. Texas, it's some Texas fans up here. I know my little brother, his best friend Jermaine, he is a big time Texas Longhorn fan. It's crazy. Texas is like the biggest college campus in America, and Ohio State is the second largest campus in America. So, two, you know, huge colleges. I live here in Columbus, man. This is definitely Buckeye country, man. So, I know we can relate on that tip, like being from big time college football areas. I know Texas is a football state in general, and Ohio is just like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, man, what's it like growing up in Ohio? Let me detail a little more. What was your upbringing like?
Single parent home. My mom, my pops, they weren't together. They was real young. My mom was 19 when she had me. So I did a lot of bouncing around, just trying to, you know, my mom struggling with trying to stabilize. I had two other brothers on my mom's side. And so she was a single mom, three kids. you know, I grew up in some rough areas. We didn't have much, you know what I'm saying? My mom did teach us love, you know what I'm saying? She taught us, she taught us manners and stuff like that. And she did the best she could. But like I said, being in a single parent home, it was tough, but it kind of created character for us. The bouncing around was a little bit tough, but again, it created character, it created some adversity to overcome, and it builds, you know, some mental toughness and stuff like that. But, yeah, man, I grew up in, like I said, back and forth, moved back and forth from Springfield to Youngstown, lived in the projects at times, and experienced all the stuff you experience in the projects. You know, you get exposed to some things in the world that kind of contribute to some of the decisions you may have made before I come into knowing Jesus Christ. But, you know, all in all, you know, it made me who I am, you know what I'm saying? And those tough times, what led to me making some decisions that led to me being at my lowest point and to where Jesus can come in. So it was cool.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what's up. So who would be your biggest influence in your life when you was growing up?
I have to say my uncle Les, it's actually my mom's sister, her boyfriend that she's been with for years and years. I watch him go to work every day. Like I watch him work overtime, have a good job, and he had, like, when we go over there, he had all the cool stuff. Like, he had the PlayStations and, you know what I mean? And but he used to always talk to me about hard work. This, you know, hard work is how you get this. And I remember watching him. He used to smoke weed. I remember being a little kid. And I remember overhearing conversations that he would have about how they start drug testing at his job. And so he had to quit. And, like, you know, a lot of people would just keep smoking. And so that showed me that his priority was providing for his family, being a man to have a job to provide and do whatever it takes to maintain that. So that's, he was a big influence on me as far as just that example of what a man is. Excuse me. And then my grandma Carolyn, man, she taught me a lot of stuff. She was the first person to taught me how to fish and all that good stuff, man. And then sports, man, athletes, man. Like, I grew up a huge Lakers fan. I grew up a huge Kobe fan. When I got a little bit older, I started to have a relationship with my dad. I had stayed one summer, and he actually the first one that, like, that's the first time I really got into sports. I was in sports, but I was never good at sports till I was about 10, 11 years old. My pops, when we finally moved back to Springfield, and I went over there for the summer, and he saw me throw a football, and he put me at quarterback, and he was my coach for a couple years in Little League. And so sports was like, you know, he's a Lakers fan, so I became a Lakers fan. And naturally, that was during the time the Kobe and Shaq era, man. And so Kobe was like huge influence on me. Like, up until my it's like sophomore year in high school, I thought I was gonna be an athlete, you know what I'm saying? And I ended up breaking my hand, and I ended up moving back and forth like multiple times, with like leaving my pop's crib and going back to my mom's crib, like going back to live with my mom in Youngstown. And just, you know, because the unfamiliar, you know, I was familiar with my mom and my brothers. I wanted to go back home. I was dealing with some, just, you know, a lot of different, when you bounce around like that as a kid, it kind of takes a toll on you. You coming with, you getting new friends all the time, and you losing friends and different relationships. So, you know, I went back, and, you know what I'm saying, that the sports thing didn't kind of pan out. That's when I really started kind of rapping a little bit more and maybe thinking this could possibly be something I could do. But yeah, man, that's pretty much it when it comes to the influences.
So we will be back after these short messages.
Glory be to God. This is your man, Hugh Holler, and you are listening to The Bookkeeper 24/7 with the host that's cooler than the other side of the pillow, my man, Daryl Kemp. I'm dropping in to inform y'all to be on the lookout for my new single, Untouchable, featuring my brother in Christ, TC. That's Friday, June 25th. When you truly been touched by God, no weapon form can touch you. Believe that.
If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First of all, it's free. Yes, I said it, free. Secondly, there's creation tools that will allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer when the inspiration hits you to record. Thirdly, Anchor will distribute your podcast, meaning it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Talk about a time saver. And last but not least, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. So there you have it. Everything you need to make a podcast all in one. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Can't wait to hear what you create with Anchor.
Welcome back to The Ride, family, where we are sitting down and chopping it up with St. Jones. As we move into this segue, I love to hear testimony. I was on Facebook and I seen a post you posted where you gave a short testimony of the cause in your life. You gave praise, you were thankful to God, and your message was to continue to trust God. can you please share your salvation story with us?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Hold on. Man, 2013, like I said, that's when I got saved. Like I said, I didn't grow up in the church or nothing like that. We did the whole the Black Baptist church thing when I was like 5 or 6. We went and got baptized, but I didn't know what it was about, you know what I mean? And we went to church here and there. But again, I didn't grow up in no religious or really a Christian household. But yeah, one day I was high, I was smoking like I used to do every day. It was actually 420. And I had a show. I was doing music in the world. I had a show at a nightclub that day. And I remember riding around with my buddy Chad. And we smoking. And all of a sudden, I just had this bad high where I couldn't, like, it's like I was losing grip of my own sanity. That's the only way I can explain it. It was like crazy feeling I never experienced. And I didn't know what to do. And so I just decided to go to my grandma's church in Springfield. And it was Saturday. I didn't know who was going to be there. I believe in God. I just didn't believe in Jesus or the Bible or church and all that. But I just figured, let me go to this church and see if I can just go into church and maybe God can help me or whatever. I go in and the pastor just happened to be walking out. She was the only person there. I say, can I go in here and pray? Or like, because I don't know what's wrong with me. That's what I tell her. And she was like, yeah, you can go in here. You want me to pray with you? I'm like, you can after. I just want to go in here. Like, I just didn't know what was wrong with me. And I literally just asked God, what's wrong with me? And I heard his voice tell me to surrender. And I like started shaking and like it just was like this crazy experience. And I walked out with this desire to read a Bible. Like I said, I didn't grow up in the church environment. I never read the Bible. And I left that church and I went to Goodwill and bought me a Bible for $1. And I just started reading it. And it's like the lights turned on and I instantly realized that Jesus was Lord and he was the Son of God and that the scripture is real. And I instantly had this understanding that I have been blind for so long. And it's like, I almost was like upset that nobody told me sooner. You know what I'm saying? I was 24 years old at the time. And that's how my journey started with the Lord, man. Just me and this NIV Bible from Goodwill. I went to that church the next Sunday, but it just wasn't for me. There wasn't nobody young in there. It was just kind of boring to me, to be honest. And so I just was reading. I was writing letters to God. I was asking God questions. And I was an alcoholic at the time, too, like a functioning alcoholic. I was drinking hard every day, smoking every day. So when I got saved and that when I had this experience, I knew that I was supposed to stop drinking. I didn't read no scripture about it was a sin. I didn't know. I just knew I did not want to drink no more. I did not want to smoke no more. I didn't want to fornicate no more. And I went through withdrawal symptoms like real bad. Like I had the shakes. I had the nightmares. I couldn't sleep at times. It was bad. But during that time, I just was reading the Bible like my life depended on it. And I was just reading it, consuming it. And so that's how my walk began.
Amen. Thank God. Thank God for that. I was reading an article one time years ago, and in the article it said that as Christians from the age of 18 to about 40, it said that's when we fall away from the church. So what would you say to the listener, being that God called you at 24 under the influence when you walked into the church? What would you say to the listener that would say, how could they hear God's voice or running from God's voice like Jonah did right now when God is calling them? Could you give any advice to the listener?
Listen, the scripture says in the day that you hear the voice of the Lord, don't harden your heart. God speaks in so many different ways. It's not always like this audible voice. It's not always, he uses people. He talked through people and he could talk to you through somebody on the radio. He could talk to you to somebody on TV. Somebody can come up to you. He could talk to you through a kid, and he could talk to you through a podcast. It's just we got to be honest about what we're with ourselves about you. It's kind of like, you know, there's this knowing, because God created us, man. Like, we come from him. It is him that we move and have our being. And so it's like, you know, when God is speaking to you, if you're being honest, you can, everybody has this understanding of something like this is not a coincidence. Like, God has been dealing with me. Like, this is keeps happening, or this keep happening. This person keep telling me something. And so, you know, God can speak in any situation. Like, he can speak to you through a drunk person while you drunk. There's no limits on what, how God speaks to us. It's just a matter of how we respond when he speaks. And so my only advice is, don't try to explain it away. Don't try to make excuses. Don't worry about what people think about you. When you know that the creator is putting stuff on your heart, he putting stuff in front of you, and you can feel it. You know it. It's a knowing that comes when it's like, okay, this is something else. And you just got to answer it, because you don't know when your day is going to end. Like, you don't know, like, there's a lot of people who God has probably called multiple times. They die the next day, or, you know what I'm saying? And so you never get that opportunity to receive the Lord Jesus. And we know the scripture says that he's the way, truth, and life. And no one gets to the Father except through him. So when he knocks, man, just answer. That's all I can say.
Absolutely. We appreciate that advice, St. Jones. And we'll be back after these messages.
Yo, what up, everybody? This is Mitch Durrell, and you are now rocking with the bookkeeper247.com. Yo, when you get a chance, check out my new single with Selah the Corner called Autopsy. It's a fire track about how Christian rappers should be able to brag sometimes, but still recognizing that God's the reason we got the abilities we have. Appreciate it. Peace.
Hey, family. I hope you're enjoying the show. In order to change the culture for God through media, we have plenty of opportunities for you to grow with us on the bookkeeper247.com. Do you need production for your podcast or YouTube video? Look no further. We got you. Do you want to do album reviews? Start your own podcast? Write your own devotionals? Look no further. We got you. Do you want to report Christian news, from hip-hop to book reviews, as well as related topics in our culture? Look no further. We got you. By partnering with us, we can do all these things for the glory of God. Email us at thebookkeeper247@gmail.com, and let's start making strides to influence the culture from a godly perspective. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Ride Family, where we are sitting down and chopping it up with St. Jones. As we move into this segue, I'd like to hear about your musical influences. So, what first got you into music?
Man, it was what really got me into music was my cousin LP and my big cousin. He was rapping. He was listening to some music. I would go over to his house day and night, and he was listening to Jay-Z, and he was listening to the Forgot About Dre, the Chronic 2001. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah, I heard him rapping that. Hold on a second. But yeah, he was rapping it, and I was listening to it. And I'm like, man, that sounds dope. And like, my cousin was knowing the lyrics word for word. And I'm like, man, I want to do that. And my cousin LP actually wrote the lyrics down for me. I'm probably like 10 years old. And I learned how to rap. It was the Hard Knock Life by Jay-Z. And then it was Forgot About Dre with Eminem and Dr. Dre. And it just made me want to get into that. Like, and then we started freestyling with this tape recorder. We would play the music on one side, and we would hit record on the other side with the tape player. And we would just sit in a room and freestyle, me, LP, and my little brother Jay. And that's how it really began as far as rapping and stuff like that. I never, even back then, I never thought that I would be like taking it serious. I started taking it serious, or writing my own song. I started writing when I was about 13, 14 years old. My mom had, we had got this computer on tax time, during tax time, and I bought me a little microphone from Kmart, and I started recording myself. I rapped to the Jesus Walks beat, and I rapped to that explosive beat, that burr, 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 burr. That's when I first recorded myself over a beat. I can't even remember what them songs were, but I actually burnt CDs and everything. My mom, I let my only people that heard it was my mom and my brother. But those was the first two beats that I used to write a music on.
Amen. So how would you describe the music that you typically create?
I would say the main thing I would say is, for the most part, I'm not going to say I'm always just super spiritual, but it's spirit led. That's what comes to mind. I try to speak what the Lord has on my heart at that moment. There has been times where I wanted to rap about something else, and I feel like the Holy Spirit was like changing the direction of the record and say, wants me to talk about this and or that. And so I try to make music with the audience in mind, to where it's not, I'm not just trying to entertain people. I'm trying to edify. I'm trying to encourage. I'm trying to testify and trying to give people hope and try to sometimes it's a sermon that somebody may need, or sometimes it's just encouragement, or being transparent to let somebody know that you're not the only one struggling with something, but also offering the testimony of how God can and will deliver you if you have faith enough to trust in and bring that issue to him. So it's just trying to be spirit led with the music.
Amen. So your creative process as a Christian hip hop artist, or a hip hop artist that's Christian, I don't know where the lines are drawn right there, right? But your creative process as a Christian, when you're making your music, does it come with a lot of prayer before you go on a project? Does it come with fasting? What is your creative process when you go into a project?
Yeah, fasting is one of them. Being in the word, like whenever I experience writer's block, which is not that often, but one of the things that I realize is that I'm a spiritual rapper, and the Holy Spirit is giving me this stuff. I'm inspired by the Holy Ghost, right? So whenever I don't know what to write, but I'm in this space where it's like I feel like it's time to record, it's a fast. I go on a fast, and it starts rolling back in. Lyrics start coming. But most of the time, like when I'm reading the word, I get inspired to write music. Like that's probably like where I gain the most creative inspiration, is when I'm reading the scripture, and at times it just makes me want to put this in the song. You know what I'm saying? And try to relate to people modern day, try to apply the scripture in my own life, or a story in the scripture. You know, and it's not like every time I record, I'm coming off a 3-day fast, or every time I record, it's after. There's times where I'm not fasting, or I'm not coming out of prayer, and I'm just inspired to write. You know what I'm saying? And there's times where I'm in traffic, and God will give me a song, or he'll give me a concept to a song, and I don't even have a beat yet or nothing, but I'll have a concept or maybe a hook, and then I'll find a beat that fits it, or, you know what I'm saying? So it all varies, but mostly the music is birthed out of a place of prayer, being in God's presence, fasting, reading, all that good stuff.
Yeah, that's what's up. That's a great process too. I believe as a Christian, as long as we're in our word and we're doing the things that we need to do to prepare, then the message will come. God will give it to us. Like you talked about the creative block. A lot of times I hear creators in our space that most of the time when they have a creative block, it's because they've been away from God.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's definitely it, especially if you if you call yourself a Christian rapper, which I do. I wear that title with no problems, man. And that also keeps you humble. It lets you know, like, yeah, this is God giving you this stuff, man. And it's like with God, there's like never, there's so much. God is so eternal, so infinite. There's so much content to write about the Lord, but we in this flesh, so it's easy to forget about, you know, it's easy to lose inspiration when you're not in your word and when you're not spending the proper amount of time with God. I know when I was recording, when I had that writer's block moment, it was in the beginning of 2020 when I had when I recorded Psalms 5. It was I had that where it almost was like kind of scary because I had got this opportunity. This pastor, he owned this building next to his church, and he had a full-fledged studio in it, and he let me get the keys to it, and like I was going to just be in there engineering for people and mixing and stuff. And so I said, let me take this opportunity to record me a project here. And it hit me, it's like, whoa, like I'm just like, I can't come up with nothing that seems acceptable to lay. And it was like I had just came off of getting my new place, coming off of being homeless, coming off of not having no vehicles, and trying to move down south, and it going far left. Like, it just did not work out, and it ended up putting us in a rough situation where we had to start over. And so I think I had been so mentally and spiritually fatigued from fighting my way back to getting myself established for my family that I kind of wasn't spending that, you know, enough quality time with the Lord and in his presence to be inspired enough to pour out, because I had been spending so much of my time trying to overcome and my trials and tribulations. So I went on a fast, and it's just like, it ain't stopped since. Like, it just keeps coming, man. And I just thank God for that.
Amen. So I heard you just say that you don't mind wearing the title, and I'm glad that you said that and you clarified that as well. So I would ask you next, what do you think the state of Christian hip hop is right now?
I think it's different, man. Like, cause it's like, when you talk about Christian hip hop, you could be talking about so many different things. You could be talking about what the mainstream side, I guess you can call of Christian hip hop, what they deem as CHH. But then there's a ton of people that may not be accepted by that world, quote unquote, the Rapzilla, the, you know what I'm saying? The ones that's known in mm-hmm. those circles. But then there's a lot of brothers out here doing their own thing, ministering the gospel in a mighty way, man. And, that built their own little platforms, and their music is edifying the people. It's blessing people. And so, as a whole, I believe there's people out there, as far as Christian rap in general, it's a lot of people out there that you know, and I believe we all have certain people that are going to come across that it may not be a huge audience, but I think people can find their niche as far as what ministers to people, what group that gravitates to your sound or what you minister or your testimony. But as far as the industry side of it, I'm just now like scratching the surface on that side of it. And before I got saved, like, I ain't know nothing about it. I didn't even know Christian hip hop existed. So I'm still learning, you know what I'm saying? As far as who the guys that started this stuff and the popular guys, I'm still learning that stuff and starting to rub elbows with some of the people. And, but based on the little bit of knowledge I do have, it does seem, it's different, and I think a part of that is because of the pandemic. It doesn't seem to have as much momentum as it had prior to the pandemic. But even before the pandemic, it seemed to be losing its steam a little bit, in the sense of it kind of felt like it had some momentum, like it was growing at one point. And then now it seems to kind of be in this place where it's just a little bit stagnant, and a lot of people are kind of not wanting to claim it, and there's different levels of understanding of what is Christian rap, or what do you have to be considered a Christian rapper? Do you have to rap about Jesus? It's so many different tentacles to this whole Christian rap thing. I just try to get in where I fit in. The Lord give me a word to correct somebody, I'm gonna say it. If the Lord give me a whole word for the whole thing, I'm gonna say it. But I'm just gonna speak the truth and try to be kind to my brothers and sisters in this thing. If it's some compromising stuff, I don't like when the kingdom is misrepresented. So I'm gonna say stuff. I'm gonna try to do it biblically. I can't say that I know exactly what's going on with CHH. I just kind of try to do what I can and let the chips fall where they may and try to represent the kingdom the best way I can and be a witness.
Amen. So what I'm hearing from you, it sounds like you treat your music as a ministry. So yeah. That would lead me to ask you, when did you want to start using your gift from God for God?
Man, when I got saved, the first record I did, man, like I said, I didn't grow up in church. I was saved in an empty church, so I ain't know no better. I was cussing in it and everything, like, but I was rapping about my transformation that, you know, that Jesus and I start to grow in Christ. And then I read the scripture, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all this righteousness and everything be added. So I quit music for a season. I get on a prayer line, this lady down in Florida. She said, you do music, don't you? This lady don't know me from Adam. And I'm like, yeah, I do. She said, God gonna bless you with a studio. God gonna do some things with your music and all this. I'm like, oh, wow, okay. So that kind of made me pick it back up. And so it's been up and down with this stuff, man. It's like, I battle with it so much I quit so many times, like because of the things I was seeing in quote unquote CHH. Like, it's like, do I really want to be a part of this? It's like, people are arguing. People are kind of like feeling like offended when somebody call them a Christian rapper. And then it's like so many, so much lukewarm stuff going on, and so much of the music has become so watered down. It's like the message, there's no real potency in it, and the word of God ain't in it. And it just kind of made me want to steer away from it. But I remember one time in the basement, 2015, I was like really questioning God, like, you know, do you want me to do this? And I believe I heard his voice tell me, I want you to speak to this generation through music. And so every time I had that moment where I'm like, man, do I want to do this? And it's like, that word always rings in my head, like, speak to the generation through music. And then the amount of people inboxing me and telling me, man, bro, you blessed me. You got me through this. Thank you for this. I led somebody to Christ through your music and all this other stuff. It just brings confirmation that it is fruit being, you know, brought forth through the music. So it keeps me going.
Amen. Yeah, I'd like to hear that. And before we move to the next segue, man, I want to give a big shout out to Hugh Holler, because he was on the show and he put me on you, St. Jones. So I want to give a big shout out to Hugh Holler, right? So I'm going to ask you what I asked him. Who do you listen to in our space I should be checking out?
Yeah, shout out to my bro, Hugh Holler, man. That's a good brother there, man. I'm trying to think, man, like, I don't really listen to a lot of CHH. I listen to more like worship music and stuff like that. But when I do, a brother from Fresno, Jay Rich, he's pretty dope. Like, I got his album. He had dropped the album. He actually asked me for a feature, and I jumped on his album. And then I listened to this whole project. Man, it's just, you could just feel the passion. You can feel the anointing on the music. You can feel the true transformation of the Lord and how he has he feels a burden to tell his story and minister to the people through the music, man. And so that's one brother that, like, I love what he does. I always like what Brian Trejo does, just because it's just so ministry focused. The Kingdom Music, the whole, you know, their whole movement is just so ministry focused, and there's fruit that comes from it, man. And so I always feel comfortable recommending that to people. Hurt and Just a Messenger from Out West, they dropped a joint project called Urban Epistle. That's something that has been in rotation for me here and there. Just spirit-led, unapologetic music, but cats that can actually rap and they actually have a passion for it. You can tell that they doing more than just rapping. It's they doing stuff behind the scenes, and they have a desire to minister to people, edify the body, try to reconcile the lost back to the Father. And so those are a couple people that come to mind. I don't want to leave nobody out, man. Please forgive me if I do, y'all, whoever may listen to this. But that's who come to mind right now off the top.
And with that being said, we'll be back after these messages.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's B+. Thank you for checking out yet another recap countdown video. I'm not going to waste any time with this because the tribe is on the move. Yes, Indie Tribe is back, and they have released their Upper Hand project, which debuted as high as number 2 on all the streaming platforms, which is a good look for them, but it's also a good look for CHH and Christian hip hop at large. Now, if you did not know, the newly reimagined Indie Tribe has formed with original members, No Big Deal, and also Mowgli the Iceberg, but welcoming in newcomers DJ Mike LV and also John Keith. Now, I normally wait about 3 or 4 days to start making my recap countdown video, but this is an emergency and I just cannot wait. Now, if this is your first time checking out a recap countdown video, really quickly, here's what I do. I take a look at my 5 favorite bars, my 4 favorite beats, my 3 favorite tracks, my 2 favorite features, and I round everything out with one final recap. But in this case, there aren't any feature artists on this project, so what I decided to do is show a little bit of love to DJ Mike LV and show my 2 favorite flexes on this project. And what I mean by flexes is when DJ Mike LV, either at the beginning or the end of the track, feels the need to let you guys know what the Indie Tribe is all about. So without any further ado, let's go ahead and get into this review.
5 bars.
Look, Holy Spirit on the speed dial. Hello? Probably still could spit a heater when I'm seen now. Harder than my demons, I got screw tape deep in D now. Me and Overdose just dropped the screw tape for the free now. Okay. As long as this breath in my lungs is all hell, King Jesus. At 45 with the levers of 116, stop believing. If junkies never was dreaming, cause some of beasts was a season. We live as kings, commit trees in the tribe of village. Leader.
Ain't no turning back now. The whole community in it, and I ain't better let them down with the nonsense. I've been down real bad, but I'm alright quick. I've been laid out flat, but it's up now. I got prayers stuck coming off my lips. It's a holy flesh where I'm at now.
Greedy. We playing chess and not checkers. I take your bishop like TD. He paint the picture in 3D and I put the beat in a DDT. Play it on BET. I get my pay to the DET. Came for the sick and my clique need the CDC speedily. They gotta put this on DVD. My stream of thought can't be bought with a streaming fee. Legally free to be free cause he freeing me. Feeling me, boy, I'm so cold they got heated like chimneys.
My dreams keep me up more than nightmares. In the flight fair, no, the devil don't fight fair. Ain't even sweating cause I ain't drinking a minute. I'm trying to kill the old me like Gemini Man while fighting with my future's up. My life is tinted.
Now, lyrically, I really didn't know where to start when it came to covering this project, just because I can probably pick my 5 favorite bars off of each and every song on this project because it really is just that deep. But what I finally decided on were these 5 bars, so let's walk through them one by one.
That was an insert from B+ Recap's YouTube channel on Indie Tribe project titled Upper Hand. B+ is doing amazing things in our Christian community. So go over there and support him by subscribing to his channel. The links will be in the description for the recap breakdown of Indie Tribe Upper Hand album, as well as links to B+ YouTube channel. Thank you, B+. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to the Ride Family, where we are sitting down and chopping it up with St. Jones. In this segue, I'd like to talk more in detail about your latest project entitled Psalm 7. When I listened to Psalm 7, I heard tight bars, a great flow pattern, very good production. But my favorite part about the project was getting to know St. Jones. It was full of scripture, testimony, past pains. But how you painted a picture in every song, I thought it was timeless, priceless, if I might add. In an era where singles and EPs make more sense financially, especially in the streaming era, what made you want to drop a full album?
Man, that, I appreciate that, man. Like, timeless is like, that's to me, man, I want to make music that makes you want to hear it again. So it's like, it doesn't do any good to make something that may get you hype in a moment, but you don't want to listen to it again, or it fades out after a week or so, or, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I really put a lot of, like, I don't try to go in there and make something that's going to appeal to a whole bunch of people just for the sake of broadening my audience. I really try to make something of substance. I try, like I said, to be spirit-led in what I do. And this walk is serious. Just like, it's like, this walk is, we doing this until we die. Like, it's an everyday thing. So it's like, I'm gonna need a whole bunch of music to really explain this walk to everybody, because everybody's in different stages of their walk. So with me trying to focus on being edifying, being a witness, motivating, encouraging people, I'm gonna put out a full project with 20 tracks. I need it because there's so many different, there's so much to this walk, man. It's not just you get saved, you love Jesus, and that's it. Nah, it's I want to walk people through different stages. Now, you have your stage where you're going through trials and tribulations, where God is allowing the enemy to do certain things so you can to reveal what you struggle with, and so that you can learn to go to Him and get delivered from these things. And also, there's a lot of stuff that a lot of behaviors and sins and things that we do that come from stuff that happened to us in our childhood. And so the root of it is so far back, people are always dealing with just the fruit of what is going on and never deal with the actual root issue. So that's why I talk about stuff in my childhood in this project. I talk about things that have hurt me. I try to be vulnerable so that people can feel bold enough to be vulnerable themselves, because that's really when you get your true deliverance, when you start digging deep as to what may have happened to me, what causes me to be fearful in this area or have anxiety or be depressed all the time, or why do I have this anger issue? Why do I have this struggle with trusting God or trusting man or trusting people that God may have put in my life? It comes from things that happened to us when we're young, seeds that the enemy sowed. Like, the enemy is crafty, but he ain't got no other job to do but to attack attack man, plant seeds of darkness in man to try to keep us far away from knowing God and operating the way God wanted to operate as possible, because he wants to pull everybody to hell with him, because that's his final judgment. So with that being said, I like to try to, I'm trying to expose his evil works, expose the things that we don't deal with, especially young black men. We don't deal with a lot of our problems, our emotional issues that we've had, that it may be like, you too soft if you talk about this, or meanwhile, this very thing that you never want to talk about is what's causing you to be an alcoholic. It's what's causing you to put your hands on women or want to fight everybody you see, and all these different things, and we don't never talk about it. So I needed to really put a lot of music out here to fully explain this walk, fully explain the seeds of that the enemy sows that lead to our bad fruit, and show people how through the power of Christ, through the power of being honest, being vulnerable, the scripture says you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. And I think it's deeper than just knowing the truth of Jesus. It's knowing the truth of what causes you to do these things so that you can lay them to the Father. He said, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Like he said, come unto me, all ye who labor, or, you know, heavily burdened, like he'll give you rest. Like, and so it's like, I just wanted to paint a picture of me being honest about my struggles, about what I go through, and how I laid it out before the Father, and he literally healed me. And who the Son says free is free indeed. And you can really walk in freedom. A lot of Christians don't believe you can be free. They think, oh, you're going to always have a struggle. No, God can really deliver you. And he actually wants to. Like that's the goal before we leave here. Is to be right, and so that we can, you know what I'm saying, dwell in heaven forever with our Heavenly Father.
Amen. Yeah, I was just telling one of my partners about Psalm 7. I said, every time I put this album on, I have a new favorite track. And that's a good thing when it comes to me, because I listen to a lot of music, right? So my favorite song was Never at first. And then all of a sudden, Extra Good started jumping out to me, right? That Extra Good seemed like that was the delivery, the hope. When you painted so many different pictures on the album about your testimony and the struggles and everything like that, that Extra Good just seemed like it was some hope. It had a little bop to it, right? And so what's your favorite song on Psalm 7?
See, man, it's the same with me, man. It changes. Because it's like I said, man, as human beings in this walk, Christians have ups and downs. We have different things. So you're going to feel different on certain days. Something might speak to you differently depending on what season you are in your walk. excuse me, so it's going to change. And that's the key thing about why I try to make my music where there's substance to it, so people are liking it for more than just the beat or the cadence. It's gonna, you're gonna relate to it, you can feel it. And so for me, my favorite record was the Set Me Free. And then same thing, it'll change. It'll be like Ready to Die was one that I kept listening to over and over again myself. Extra Good was it at one point, like early in the process, where it's like, man, I'm really feeling this song. So it kind of, like you said, it kind of jumps around. And with this project, man, like this is probably the widest variety of, yo, my favorite track is this. Normally it'd be a couple songs that everybody's saying, somebody saying this or they saying this. It is like literally been 10 to 15 different, this is my favorite record. I'm like, wow. And even shows in my streams, it's like, it keeps changing as to what's the highest stream song. It keep bouncing around. It's like, wow. So people are, it's speaking to people on multiple levels, and at different times, people are choosing what their favorite record is. And that's all I can ask for. That's what I set out for. And that's the whole reason why I did 20 records, because I wanted people to be able to pick from it. I know in this age, they say it's the microwave age and people ain't going to listen to all 20 songs. And I don't want you to listen to it all in one sitting. You know, there is a tomorrow. The album is not going to expire, so you can come back to it and finish it later. And so I'm not trying to cater to what they say is the right way of doing things. I try to do what I feel led to do, and I feel led to drop 20 records. If you listen to it, you listen to it. If you don't, if you only can get through 8 songs, whatever. I just pray a seed was sown. I pray you edify. And like I always try to say, I always say that I'm trying to trick your flesh into being entertained while your spirit get fed.
Oh, amen. That's what's up. I like that. Yeah, I think it's a great project that it just keeps growing on me every time I listen to it. Yeah, I have a 45-minute, yeah, I drive to work. It's like 45 minutes one way and 45 minutes back. So the EPs is cool. Don't get me wrong. But having a full project that has really spoke to the spirit in me, the Holy Spirit has really convicted me. And more I listened to it again, I felt like I was telling my same partner that I felt like I know Saint Jones now, right? Wow. That I know you, like we grew up together, right?
Praise
you
God.
Know, after that project. So praise God for that. I know one of the songs that I had on repeat just this last Friday, because I was listening to it, preparing for the interview, and it hit me about a week ago, but man, it hit me. So I put it on repeat, but it was Even Demons Revere. That's the name of the track, right? So yes, on Even Demons Revere, you were in your lane. It seemed to me as if the Holy Spirit jumped out of you and grabbed the mic. You were unapologetic, and that song is amazing, right? Like the Holy Spirit just said, hey, sit down. I got this, right? You know, I'm about to take this over, right? In the first verse, you had a bar that said, right when the whole world went into the greatest frenzy, a lot of believers realized their faith tank was empty. Can you break that down for me?
Oh, man. When the pandemic first hit, man, it was a lot of panic amongst the believers, and it's like, you know, we had this kind of like this very watered down Christianity in America as a whole. I'm just, you know, we believe God when all things are well, like, and we say we believe God, but it's like when things get real, and scripture says in the last days there were going to be pestilences, so it's like, this is not a shock to me that this is happening. We're in the last days. It's Matthew 24, Luke 21, Mark 13. There will be pestilences, famines, earthquakes in diverse places. And the Lord, me and my wife, man, we had so much peace during this pandemic. Just not because we're some great people. We just believe God for his word. He said, if you keep his commandments, he said, I believe it's in the book of Psalms, or no, it might have been in Deuteronomy. He said, I actually read that scripture on All the Glory. He said, I won't allow the plagues that I've allowed on Egypt, I will not allow on you. This is what his word says. Psalms 91. This is what the Lord kept giving my wife. Psalms 91. We asking God about it. When it happens, we don't go to the news. We don't go to YouTube. We go to God. Like, God, what is this thing that's going on? Why is everybody so afraid? And why is this, that, and the third? And the Lord said, gave my wife Psalms 91. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He who abides in the shadow of Almighty. You know what I'm saying? You know the scripture. And so it's like,
That's right.
God said we wasn't going to get it. And my household has been COVID free. Thank God. But it all starts with faith. It's like faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. He who comes to God must first know that he is. And he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And I think a lot of believers that say they believe were in a frenzy, were just seeming to like really just be afraid. And like, and it's like that, that to me, we supposed to have a peace that surpasses all understanding. I'm not saying everybody's at a different level of faith. And I'm not trying say, I'm not trying to condemn anybody. I'm trying to encourage you to believe God for who what he said he is, because it is our faith that activates the power in the word. You know what I'm saying? It says that's without faith, it's impossible to please him. So if I don't believe, that means I'm not spending enough time with him. I'm not in his word enough. And now this is like, okay, this is a great reset. You had your faith in your church building. You had your faith in every Sunday. But now that they shut the church down, everybody seemed to be so scared. And it's like, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. You know what I'm saying? And so for me, it was just like, it kind of was a moment of separation to see who's who, what's what. And certain people ended up getting it. And I believe those were the people that needed a wake-up call from the Lord. And I've seen people get it and come out of it. And one couple in particular, that they got serious. It's, I think it was a moment to really understand we are in the last days. Like, we can't keep playing with this thing. We can't get so comfortable in this culture in America that we act like God is just going to tarry forever, or we just go, everything is all smooth in America. No, he's coming. He's coming soon. And so this is a this is an example of what he said. The scripture has been so accurate. And so with that bar, man, it was just that, like I said, it was just me saying this. Now you realize where you at. So now what are we going to do to correct it? Because God is graceful. He's merciful. He's going to allow us to correct it. But you just got to be honest with yourself and say, you know what? I was scared. Like, you know what I'm saying? I was fearful of this thing. And that's not faith. That's the opposite of faith. So.
Absolutely. And that the bar stuck out to me because fortunately, I would say unfortunately, but fortunately, COVID-19 came through my house, right? So me and my wife had it. And at the time, my twins were 11 and they had it. Wow. And we walked around here, St. Jones, and I actually thought me and my wife was going to check out. The twins, they only had symptoms for like a day, maybe 2 days. And they end up having to feed themselves, feed us. Wow. I mean, we were just out of it for about 5-6 days, right? But my 11-year-old son, and I was reminded of this yesterday because he was just the speaker for Children's Day. And this was part of his speech or his message for Children's Day at our church. But I was reminded, he told me, he said about that 5th or 6th day, he said, "Daddy, well, if we leave here, we're going to be with Jesus." And I was like, whoa. I was like, yeah, you're absolutely right. So I jumped up. I started praying around my house. I started telling Satan to get behind me. I started walking behind my house. I started saying, this right here will not be of me or my family. That we are rooted in the word of God, and God is in us, and we abide in him.
Yes.
And before you know it, a day later, we were up cooking. You know, we were starting to move around and move around. So, yeah, that bar particularly stuck out to me. And I'm glad that the Spirit led you to say that. And I will continue by saying this with that. In the second verse of the song, you had a bar in there that says so-called Christians following culture, following trend, looking whole on the outside, but hollow within.
Yeah.
Break that down for the listener.
You know, with this whole this generation of motivational speakers, and we've adopted cats that are very general, very inspirational, and we're calling them men of God because they're inspirational when it comes to encouraging people about gaining success. So it's like, since when is natural success a gauge of someone being blessed? It's not. Because the scripture says that Satan is the god of this world. What did Satan offer Jesus? He offered him riches. He offered him, look, this is all me. I'll give you this. He's the prince of the power of the air. So Satan blessed people too. You see what I'm saying? And so if he offered Jesus, the son of God, you think he ain't offering this stuff to regular human beings running around in America? So every blessing, every blessing don't come from above. In fact, a lot of times money drives people further and further away from God. That's what the scripture says. It's easier for a camel to enter the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. He didn't say it was impossible, but when you are financially set, it makes you think you don't need God. And so, so a lot of people are, they got a house, car, they financially set, career, business, flourish it, but they in bondage to pornography. They in bondage to fear, anxiety. Their marriage is falling apart. Their children aren't listening. They falling into the streets, or they dealing with depression and suicidal thoughts, and they're just unhappy. They may be looking like they got it all together on the outside. They even put on the face when they come out. But deep inside, when you don't know Jesus Christ, when you don't have a relationship, when you don't have peace, you don't have the freedom that comes with walking with Jesus, it's hollow. It's not going, it doesn't matter. You can't take it with you. You can't take all the natural possessions that you gain with you wherever you go in this afterlife. And there's only two places, heaven or hell. And so the scripture says, store not up treasures upon earth where moths do corrupt and thieves break in and steal, but store up treasures in heaven. How do you store up treasures in heaven? By doing the things of the kingdom. Scripture says that the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. That's Proverbs 11:30. So a lot of times we focus on natural success, but the scripture says you'll know them by their fruit. What's the fruit of the spirit? Kindness, patience, love, long suffering. You know what I'm saying? Walking in love. What is love? 1 Corinthians 13 tells us what love is. Love is patient. Love is kind. Does not envy. It doesn't boast. It rejoices in the truth. It doesn't rejoice in evil. And so, but people are going to these motivational speeches and they learning how to flip their money and flip a house, but it's like they still in bondage because don't nobody want to talk about the things that we really need to talk about, the deep things in life that gives you freedom. When you can have peace, no matter how much money you got, there's nothing greater than that. The scripture says godliness with contentment is great gain. That is powerful when you got peace, regardless of how much money you got in your pocket. I'm not one who comes against prosperity or thinking that, oh, if you rich, then you ain't saved, or if you acquire things, you ain't saved. Nah, that's not it. But where is your peace at? Do you find comfort in your luxury of your vehicle or your new house, or, you know what I'm saying, the fact that you can go on vacation whenever you want? Or is your peace found in Jesus Christ? That's what I meant by the whole hollow within thing. And that's what the Holy Spirit, like you said, hijacked that record, man. And it just started going. That's why people ask me, how long it take you to write this or write that? Man, these songs normally take me 10 minutes to write, for anywhere between 10 minutes to a half hour. You know why? Because it's the Holy Spirit, bro. He just dropped it. That's why a lot of my songs, it'd be more than 16 bars on a verse. And sometimes I'll be like, I can't stop writing. I have to cut myself off because the Spirit is giving me so much to talk about, because it's deeper than just being music. It's about ministering to the souls of people who may hear it. And people are in different places in their walking. People need truth. And a lot of times people won't receive truth with somebody talking, but with a nice beat, they'll receive it. So that word will get deep inside of them, and they don't even know they was getting corrected. And it's like, I'm not there correcting you, so it's easier not to be offended. So then now you just receiving it for yourself. You're not embarrassed because nobody's around. You ain't got to raise your hand if you was going through this, or come to the altar because you was going through this. The Holy Spirit can deal with you right in your vehicle, or right in the gym, or right at your crib when you hear this word of correction.
Absolutely.
Because correction, the scripture says only a fool despises correction. We live in a society where everybody's offended by everything. you're offended at me because I care enough about you to tell you the truth that's going to set you free. That's how the devil set this world up. And we can't do that. So correction is good. We want to be right with God. He wants to heal us. These rules and regulations are not put in place to make us, to keep us from having fun. They're put in place to protect us from the devil. And the devil wants to take us to hell. And so that's why I allow the Holy Ghost to say what he wants. Even though I could say this and that, that can appeal to more people, but that's not the goal. The goal is to appeal to your spirit so that you can be right with the Father. Because that type of work is what's going to get you treasures in heaven as opposed to being successful on earth.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that, St. Jones. Yes, sir. Before we move to this last part of the segue, I asked my pastor once after he preached a fire message, does he have to deal with pride or feeling more than? He told me as soon as he gets home, he hits his prayer closet and humbles himself to God. You are a very tight artist with your flow, your cadence, your bars, your rhyme pattern, and et cetera. Is there a fight between the Christian and the rapper within yourself? And if it is, how do you handle that?
Oh, man, definitely, bro. Actually, on this mixtape I did a couple years ago called Freely Received, Freely Given, on this one song, I said, balancing artistry with ministry can be taxing. See, I'm a man of God, but I can rap actually. Dear Father God, your most high majesty, help me not to diss these fake whack rappers, please. It's tough, especially everybody is always bigging you up for your raps and all that stuff. But like you said, bro, like you said, your pastor, getting in that prayer closet, humbling yourself before God, being in his presence, the presence of the greatest, the majesty, the holiest, the, like, and when you in God's presence, all your flaws are so evident. And it's like, yo, the scripture talks about, it says, no one serves God, no, not one. They've all gone astray. Even Jesus, the Christ himself, said, why do you call me good? None's good except the Father. When you understand that, when you understand that it is in God that I move and have my being, I can't rap one lyric if he don't grace me with a breath to breathe. Is it tough? As I mature in Christ, it gets easier to remain humble in this thing because I know that it's a gift that he gave me. So it's like, you know, you want to compete as a man. You want to be competitive. You want to, especially coming from a sports background like I do, you want to compete.
Mm-hmm.
But I squash that so much. But I don't let my desire to out-rap everybody get in the way of me getting the message out. And so it's like some songs may not be as lyrically incredible or punchlines and all that because God wanted me to speak this message straight up to people. And so staying on your knees, being in prayer, which I need to do more of. Like I need to, I need to get back to more of prayer life and remaining humble. But that's how you remain humble, though, being in the presence of God, because he show you, he gonna tell you about yourself, man. Like God has showed that's me right. Some things, man. I'm gonna just be all the way 100. God showed me a vision one time where I was in a church and like we was having like open prayer, cats walking around just praying and whatnot, and the Lord showed me this spotlight. And in a vision, I'm like, what's this, Lord? He's like, you chasing the spotlight. And I said, ooh.
Mm-hmm.
I literally got on my face in that church. I got in the pew somewhere and hid. Because our heart, the scripture says, the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? And that's the one thing, we just got to be real. Like, my heart and my flesh desires to be nasty. It desires to be jealous. It desires to be selfish, evil. So I have to maintain my connection with the Lord so I can be more like him. And that's how you can remain humble. And especially in a society where everybody's telling you, you go hard, you fire. You know what I'm saying? It's dope. That's what's up. And then just being honest about where you at. Like, how, we can't get too puffed up. It's like, I ain't making no money off this. I still got to get up, take care of my three kids. I got a wife. I still got to take the trash out. I still got to go to work. I still got to, you know what I'm saying, do all the things that a regular man without this rap talent has to do. So who are you? You just happen to be able to put words together real good. Whoop-de-doo. You know what I'm saying? Like, just being honest, the scripture tells us to account yourself higher than no man. You know what I'm saying? Matter of fact, it tells us to make ourselves lower. And so it's like, yeah, you can rap good, but and like it is what it is.
That's right. Amen. I appreciate you sharing that. And we'll be back after these messages.
We have a new way you can seed with the bookkeeper 247.com to help us grow. Head over to the website, click the merch button, and pick out our newly better quality design t-shirts. Enter the promo code behind the mic and get 10% off of your purchase. Also, you can help us grow by dropping a comment and sharing the podcast. Make sure you hit the subscription button to be notified for the most in-depth show in hip-hop, Behind the Mic, with my hubby and your host, Daryl Kemp. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to the Ride family, where we are sitting down with and chopping it up with Saint Jones. As we move into this last segue, I'd like to ask, as a platform, what could we do better to help the indie artists?
Oh, man. Purchasing the merch is a good thing. Like, I got shirts and stuff like that that I sell. But as far as, like, indie artists, like what I do and the other cats that do what I do, it's not going to be as popular as the other music, so it's not going to be as lucrative. So cats sowing seeds, like I've had people sow random seeds here and there. That stuff helps, man, because like this microphone, the studio stuff, beats and all that stuff, this stuff I have to pay for it out of my own pocket. And I have three kids and one on the way. And so, you know, that helps when you actually sow into the artist financially, sharing the stuff too, because it's like, especially with the whole social media algorithms and stuff like that, it seems like it's getting more limited as far as the people being able to view the stuff. So sharing, tagging people with it, posting it, you know what I'm saying? Being, you know, pushing it forward when you get it, sharing it with somebody else that may be able to listen to it, and then maybe they like it. And then the more listeners, the more streaming, and the more revenue can come in to be able to keep going with it, keep it pushing to spread the message further. And then also that it helps keep whoever's operating it, it helps keep them financially comfortable enough to where they're not stressing about nothing. I sold my studio equipment 3 times, like whole studio. And it was a lack of faith on my part at times. And then it was, but I just didn't have the money. I needed the money. And so, you know, I spent all this money, and it was during them times where I was questioning whether or not God wanted me to do this. And then it was immature times, you know what I'm saying, where, like I said, it was just a lack of faith. And then it was a time where I tried to punish myself for, you know, falling early in my walk. So, like, you know what, I ain't doing this rap no more. Since I can't get my walk together, I need to quit. And I don't think you need to, maybe you need to step back, but you don't need to quit doing what God has called you to do. But just make sure you know that it was what God called you to do. So I say financial support is big. Like, I hate talking about that because it's so taboo. It's so, everybody's so money hungry. Everything has always been about, like one of the things that scare people away from church. I know for me, I hated that the pastor asking for money. Every time I go to a funeral or go to a church, I decided to go to church when I was in the world. That stuff used to turn me off. But in this capitalistic society right now, it takes money to run the ministry. Like, it takes, you know what I'm saying? It takes people participating because we don't have the machine that these other cats have. We don't have the, you know, people aren't open to Christian rap as they are to regular negative rap. So the more financial help, the more we can market it, the more we can push it past the box that they put it in, so that more people can receive the message and more people can come to Christ and then know about the art.
Amen. At our church, I'm an officer at our church, so I'm over the Sunday school. And so we have the meetings, the business side, quote unquote, of the church, like once a month and every quarter. And I know as a member being behind the scenes now and not just sitting in the pews that the church just doesn't operate off of. Amens and hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely.
Yeah, so what I'm telling you, family, you just heard it. Streaming has really impacted you as an independent artist, all the indie artists out there. If you really want to support these artists and you really want them to create great projects like we got from St. Jones, support them. I was on Facebook and even seen where you have a way that you're offering CDs.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell the people about that.
Yeah, buying the hard copies of the CDs, that helps. You know, it just helps keep me afloat. You know what I'm saying? Because like I said, I'm not making no money off this stuff. I'm in the red. Like, this is, I'm passionate about this, so this is what I do. And so, you know, purchasing the CDs, that helps out a lot. And it's like, I try to do it to where, you know, you get something in return for whatever you give it. And then also, there's people who can't afford it. So I give CDs out, you know, quite a bit. I give the stuff out to people. I always make my music available for free. Always. Like, there's never going to be a time where, nah, you got to give me that money. Like, nah, it's available on YouTube for free. I always offer a link for people to download the MP3 for free if they don't have it. But I always ask, you know, if you can offer some money towards it, it's a blessing. And I try to be transparent about what I got going on. And, you know, like I said, even with the distribution, I have to pay a yearly fee to continue to be able to distribute my music on all the streaming platforms. And with the streams, you're only getting, you know, I get like $10 here and there through PayPal every quarter, $30 maybe will come in through the streaming. So, you know, streaming the music, getting it out there to people, and then, like you said, buying these CDs, that's always a blessing. And just praying, that helps out tremendously. And just helping support in any way, because, you know, we give to all type of different stuff, man. And it's like, when it comes to giving to this, because of the negligence of other people who have been money hungry, it kind of, people kind of be like, I don't know, man. But just know, just ask the Lord, seek the Lord, you know what I'm saying? Ask, is this good ground to sow into? And if it is, just do it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. We'll definitely be putting the links in the description of this podcast. And I'm definitely going to buy one of those CDs because it's edified me. And it really has. I plan on playing this out. So, like I heard Bizzle say one time, buy it and stream it. So I'm going to buy it. You heard it here first. And I'm going to keep streaming it and keep telling my friends and family about it as well, right?
Amen.
Before we get these last couple of questions, and I'm kind of blowing it and moving ahead, but to me, this is no cap either. You have one of the tightest, we just got finished talking about this, and I hate to call it merch or taglines or anything, right, but tell the people about Signed to God. I feel like that is so, from a business perspective, that is so marketable. And I know the Holy Spirit had to give it to you, right? But that is super tight. So tell the people about signedtogod.com.
Yeah, man, that's actually, I had mentioned being signed to God in a couple records, a couple tracks that I did. Most recently was a song off of this mixtape I dropped. It was like a surprise mixtape called Thief in the Night. The song was called True God Flow. And I said, St. Jones signed a guy, he the boss of the vision. And I had a couple cats down in South Carolina who was interested in helping me with this movement and stuff. And one of them, Olandis, he was just like, man, like, we were all talking about starting this, you know, a movement, label slash ministry, whatever you want to call it. He was like, you know, signed a guy just sounds so dope. And I've always had that thought, like, even the projects that I had dropped, I had, because on DistroKid, you ain't even got to have an official label. You can put whatever label you want, and that's what it'll be under. So Signed to God was something that I had said multiple times, and I always felt if I was an artist that signed to the Most High, man, to where I let him dictate. Like I said, I'm signed to the Most High, so he determines my salary. And so And so, yeah, man, then I decided to go forth and design the logo. And I'm just going through, and God just gave me this thing where it just, like, I have never been more satisfied with something I put together than when I put together the S2G logo. And it's just like, I know it's God. And, you know, it's just about being signed to God, being that, being in a contract with the Lord, to where no matter what's going on in the world or what's offered to you, your allegiance is strictly to what God, even if it offends people, even if it may not be the popular thing to do. I'm always just try my best to obey the Lord regardless.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, so, man, before we get up out of here, what should we be looking for from St. Jones? What's in the lab, man? What you got working on? What do the people need to be looking for?
Well, right now, man, we just going to be working. I'm trying to add to the team, man. I'm trying to add, you know, I want to add artists that, you know, ministers of music or whatever. That's definitely a priority, but the top priority even more so than that is just adding people who are willing to serve, like willing to help the behind the scenes stuff, lay the foundation of it, the things that maybe don't get quote unquote the glory or the cameras and the lights and the action, but stuff like that. So that's one thing I'm doing, is trying to expand the team. Excuse me, man. And then I also, Hugh Holla, he's a part of S2G, and he got an EP called Glory Up that's coming out probably in the next, within the next month or so. So be looking out for him. It'll be his first official S2G release. That's my brother, man. And then I just been doing visuals, man. Like, I'm really doing a lot of videos off this album. Like I just did the Set Me Free video. We did the first verse from Never. When I was in New York City, I was doing this DJ flew me out to, cause I did a verse and a hook for him for this track. He likes the track. He's putting, you know, some resources behind it. And we shot this dope video to that in New York. But while we were there, we got footage, and I did a video to Never. That's on my YouTube, and it's on Instagram. It's on Facebook. Also, we did the Lemon Pepper freestyle, that beat, that Drake beat that everybody been rapping on. I was like, man, let me jump on this.
Oh, yeah.
I just dropped that video yesterday. So I dropped 3 videos this week. So just be looking out for that. Subscribe to my YouTube. And then my wife, we're going to be working on her EP. She sings. She's on the song. She's the one singing on 2 Up on TP7. Okay. Yeah, she's the one. And Jay Rich is actually the one. He got a verse on that record. So, yeah, we're going to be doing that. Me and Hugh Holla going to do the Holy Body video here real soon. And then I'm on Hugh Holla's EP as well. I got a verse on there. And so, yeah, that's what we're going to be working on. My wife's EP is coming up. Visuals for TP7 and Hugh Holla's EP.
Yeah, that's what's up, man. I know Hugh listening too, right? So Hugh already said he's going to give me an early listen, right? So I'm going to put him on blast on the podcast when y'all get that thing ready, man. Because you know me, I'm going to listen. And if I really don't do a lot of reviews anymore, but I just like to listen and put encouraging words behind stuff. You know, when I hear it, and I like Hugh Flow, and I love that song y'all had together on your project, of that Holy Body, and I like that. That's a banger to me. So, man, the last thing, man, tell the people where they can find you at. Drop your social links where you want people to find you and your music.
So you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, it's The St. Jones, at The St. Jones, THESAINT Jones. I'm on Facebook, St. Jones, or just Rashawn Jones on Facebook, my real name. I do have an artist page on there. I got free music on SoundCloud as well, soundcloud.com/St. Jones. I'm on all the streaming platforms. Just look up St. Jones. I think I got over 75 songs on the streaming platforms throughout from all the projects that I've dropped. Since the Psalms 3 has been on there. Since the Psalms 3, I've been dropping projects up until TP7 just now. So ton of music on there, YouTube and stuff like that. Subscribe to me on YouTube. Just look up St. Jones, spelled all the way out, S-A-I-N-T Jones. You'll see me on there. That's pretty much it as far as the socials. And then I'm looking to come and do events. Like, I'm ready to hit the stage. It's like things are opening up now. I'm ready to minister the word and minister through this music. You can email me at thesaintjones, thesaintjones@gmail.com for like, if you want me to come out to events and stuff like that. So yeah, that's pretty much it.
That's what's up. And people will have all the links in the description. And this is Daryl from the bookkeeper247.com. You know where you can find us at. All you got to do is put hashtag TBK247 in your favorite browser, and I guarantee you will pop up. Well, St. Jones, my brother, man, I appreciate you coming on the show, man. I pray that the Lord will continue to bless you, bless your family, bless your ministry. And I just pray that all will be well in his name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I appreciate you, man. I enjoyed this.
All right. All right, people. Catch us on the next episode.
Thank you for joining us. Remember, you can help us by liking, sharing, commenting, and subscribing. For all of the YouTube listeners, make sure you hit the alert notifications. Also, if you would like to donate a monetary blessing, go to the description located inside our Anchor link or our PayPal link. The donations will help our growth regarding better equipment so that we can spread the word of God even further. Thank you again, and until next time, God bless, bless, bless.